It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's December 2nd and 3rd, depending on when you're listening to this. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I think most people I speak with have a great holiday because you don't have to worry about presents, and meaning you should be present, but you don't have to worry about buying presents, I guess is what I was going to say. My guest today, Bob Faub, will be getting into that, but I first want to give a big shout-out to all my running friends. We had a great Thanksgiving 5K at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, which is part of the Millennium Running Series. The next day, we had another Trot Off Your Turkey 5K that was in Amherst. And then on Saturday, I headed up to York, Maine for another sort of turkey-orientated race. So this, I think Thanksgiving and that whole weekend is the biggest race days of the year. Depending on when you're listening to this, if it's Saturday, December 2nd, again, just for my running friends, at 1:30, actually the start time is 2:30, we have the Santa Shuffle at Elm Street, another Millennium Running race. I'll then see my employee colleagues at a holiday party at the Capone Center, and then on Sunday, December 3rd, is the first of the Jingle Bell Runs. There are three Jingle Bell Runs that raise money for arthritis. One is in Freeport, Maine, which is Sunday the 3rd. And then we have a race in Portsmouth and a race in Concord. But with me this weekend is Bob Faub. I've had Bob on many times. He's a fellow author. Thank you, Bob, for joining me. I know this is a busy time of year, and thank you. But I think it's timely because we want to reduce the stress for our listening audience. So thank you for joining me.
Oh, Tom, it's always a pleasure to be back here and chat with you and share
information. So before we get into energizing your family and reducing stress during the holiday season, both you and I have written books. I'm actually just about ready for my book number two. It's on mindfulness and, you know, unitasking instead of multitasking. But would you, since you've written a book or two, can you just describe, I get this question a lot, well, how do you do it? I mean, you just sit down. I mean, the way I'll just speak for myself. What I did was basically every weekend during the summer, I set aside 3 hours on a Saturday and 2 hours on Sunday and just plowed away. So it's a lot of hard work, rewriting, thick skin, because your editor says what you think is funny really isn't funny or good and whatever. So tell us about your experience being a published author.
Well, it was somewhat similar. Because I'm a consultant, I travel a lot. I sort of wedged it in between times I was out on the road. And the very first time, I actually did the rough draft and voice to text in about 5 hours, because this is content that I've talked about for years. I just looked at this outline and just talked. And then, as you said, my skin began to thicken over time because they're like, oh, we need a story here. This doesn't make any sense. And I think, wait a second, that's what I always tell people. Whoops. So it was, but the big thing is kind of looking at it. It took 9 months for me, by the way. And it really felt like creating a life in a lot of ways and just really pouring myself into it. That's the biggest thing.
Exactly. You definitely pour yourself into it. And then, of course, you have to. I know my first book, There Are No Do-Overs, which really has to do with, obviously, you can do continuous improvement, but there are certain things you don't have a second opportunity. You know, in our case, you know, getting on the Affordable Care Act, in the case of the Boston Celtics, you know, drafting Larry Bird and things like that. But I remember the original manuscript was like 350 pages, and my editor said, you know what, everybody only reads about between 125 and 130 pages, so I had to cut out like half the book.
Wow.
Ouch. But anyway, so you're obviously a very energetic person. You're a professor in team skills. So what have you seen? I mean, this is just my observation. I just seem like people are trying to do too much and trying to please everybody, and sometimes just being literally present, you know, is enough for your family, which is why, you know, I think for many of us, you know, Thanksgiving is a little bit more pleasurable than Christmas, in the sense that, you know, you're showing up, maybe you've had to cook or bring a pie or something like that, but you don't have to worry about the presents. But I've just kind of noticed in my own working life and just my own observations that are people just running around. And I'm not talking about texting and driving. I'm just talking about in general. I see people, you know, shopping in the supermarket and they're on their phone. I see them walking between meetings and they're on their phone. They're trying to do all of this. And so my second book is going to be on mindfulness, which I'm just kind of a fancy word for being, you know, make sure you be, you know, present, you know, control what you can control. Don't try to multitask. Because in your book, you get into a lot on the brain science, but, explain to the listening audience that we're, you know, more or less binary. So when we're at a teleconference and we're also trying to do an email, you know, one of those two things are going to suffer. And I've noticed that in my own employees. Like I've seen people, I've seen some kind of odd emails, and then I kind of explore it, and it turns out that they were on the phone at the time where they're doing that email. So why don't you get into the brain science a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. So there's a few things we can multitask at. So we can walk and talk. Or not everybody, but most people can at least
do that. How about chew gum?
Chew gum, that's advanced level.
Okay, I fail.
But the research shows, by the way, and this exactly reinforces what you just said, that the language center, or the parts of our brain that are involved for language, can only be active on one thing at a time. And we think that we're multitasking by doing two things simultaneously, but what actually happens, the research shows, is that our brain goes back and forth between the task, which means that a good third to half the time we're actually switching, not actually focused. And the quality drops dramatically, and of course, many errors go up. So it's this myth and this urgency that comes about partly because of the negativity bias I'll mention later. And so we feel like we have to do more and more and more, but we're actually doing less and less and less and doing it worse.
I once had my French teacher, her expression in my high school yearbook was, go less often, go first class, or doing more by doing less. Well, let's tell us about the negativity bias, what that is.
Yeah, so one of the amazing things about the way our brains evolved over the millennia is about survival, right? So our brain is constantly scanning for threats and danger. And that's a fantastic thing, right? It keeps us alive in traffic, if someone looks dangerous, a scary animal, whatever. The interesting piece to that, though, is that it doesn't turn off even when we're in family situations or at work or whatever.
You're talking about the flight or fight response?
The fight or flight response is essentially triggered by this. It's part of the same dynamic. So the negativity bias means that if something is negative, we tend to see it more than the positives around us. We tend to feel it more strongly, and it tends to last longer than the feeling of a positive thing. Some research shows that it might take about 5 equal positive things to balance out the impact on our brain of one negative.
So is this why at some family dinners is a little bit more bickering than happy talk?
Yes. At family dinners, when you're talking about errands, when you're talking about chores and things like this, is that our brain is going to pay more attention to the dish in the sink versus the dishwasher full of clean dishes that someone just did.
Awesome. Well, you have some techniques. You have the yes and technique.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, at the Best Companies to Work For Breakfast, another author, Paul Boynton, you know, one of his books was, you know, Lead with Yes. And his point was, you know, if you lead with yes, you're going to have a much better opportunity for a positive, healthy, you know, conversation. So tell us, when you say yes, and tell us what that means in terms of dealing with perhaps, you know, family challenges and stuff.
Yeah, so this certainly builds on Boynton's point there. Just to be clear, there are certain times where you just have to say no, right? There's certainly situations, but a vast majority of the time, our negativity bias wants us to say no when it just causes more conflict, right? So a great example is your child may come to you and say, hey, I really want to, can I play video games? Can I play video games, Dad? And if you just say no, you now have a conflict and you're arguing back and forth. Another way of doing this with the yes and is to say yes as soon as you're finished with your homework. Yes, you can have your dessert as soon as you finish eating your peas. So instead of saying no, you're more working with versus butting heads.
Like most things, you probably should be able to practice that. So like, how do you, you know, remember the yes and approach, and what are some techniques and tools that we can use, to practice those good habits?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So I was lucky because I was a very sarcastic and negative person, and I stumbled into accidentally doing improvisational comedy. And that transformed me over a period of a couple of years doing that. But for people that are not that lucky or unfortunate, if you hate it, there's another method, which I teach a lot, which is essentially a look for one area to start with where you want to respond with yes and versus a no, because it's much easier to practice in one area and then gradually build on it. So, for example, we talked about the child who always wants to play video games. And instead of doing headbutting, you might say, all right, how do I work with my child so that my child begins to realize that video games can be a fun thing once I've done what I'm responsible for, instead of just, I want to do it all the time. So yes, and to redirect them.
All right, so let's role play. So if you have teenage drivers, like I do, okay, so like I want to use the car, so yes, and but first clean it or something. Give me something to help me with.
Yeah, so the thing actually, one of the challenges of learning to do this is not to insert the but, right? Because that's what our brain wants to do. The negativity bias wants to say but and things like that. The challenge is with children and everybody else that's living is when you say but, they kind of eradicate what happens before that. It negates it in their mind.
So it's really important that it be and, not but.
That's correct. And it takes a while to figure this out. And one of the great things, by the way, of practicing yes and versus yes but is it actually activates different parts of your brain, which makes you more amiable, and it also activates more of their amiability, if you will. So, for example, around the car, say, yeah, absolutely, you can borrow the car. Make sure to clean it first. Or yes, yeah, you can absolutely take this on a road trip after you've gone through some good training around how to do highways or exits or parallel parking, whatever it is you want them to work on.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio on this weekend, December 2nd and 3rd. And again, I want to thank my running friends for a great turnout over the Thanksgiving holiday. And I hope everybody had a warm and safe and healthy Thanksgiving period. We have a couple of races going on Saturday, December 2nd. We have the Santa Shuffle on Elm Street. It starts at 2:30. Everybody will be in a Santa suit. And then on Sunday, December 3rd, is the first of the three series in the Jingle Bell Arthritis series, and that will be in Freeport. In the next couple weeks, it'll be in Portsmouth and in Concord. So with me is the Chief Energizing Officer and famous author, Bob Faw. Bob, tell us about your book, Energize, where to get it, and who's it aimed at?
Oh, great. Thank you. So Energize, and that's the title, and the subtitle is Ignite Passion and Performance with User-Friendly Brain Tools. You can get this on Amazon.com. Paperback or digital. Also, in terms of who it's aimed at, I really decided to aim this at everybody because these tools have helped me transform my life, not only in my business life, and that's where I specifically came up with these tools, but also my personal life. I'm going to talk in a minute about one of those tools and how much it's helped both in my personal and professional life. One of my most gratifying things actually is hearing people that I'm training, maybe leadership or whatever, come back and say, wow, I'm now a better parent for using this tool.
And that's the most important thing. One of my CEO magazines I get, it was actually good this month because one of the things was how to be a leader of your own children and family. So it was really good. Now, you teach a lot of team building and other skills at famous universities like Harvard and Columbia and Kellogg and Illinois and so forth. So what if when you've run into pretty significant people, what are some of the themes that they struggle with? Probably like everybody else, right? Work, family, balance, maybe.
There's certainly, yeah, the balance piece. Also, one of the things you talked about earlier is about the multitasking. High achievers tend to be just as vulnerable to the myth of multitasking as anybody else. So people really struggling with that and learning how to have a meaningful life and have meaningful communication and connection with people versus scattered and diffused, which happens when you multitask. But balancing that, or someone said it really beautifully, a speaker I heard recently, which is rather than looking for work-life balance, look for work-life harmony. Because for each person, they may be different. There may not be exact balance, but both your work and your personal are benefiting from the way you do each, which is great.
I like that. That's, yeah. The harmony part of it, because you know, for example, for me, like on a weekend, like I like to do a race, you know, Saturday morning, and then I just like to go into the office just to catch up on things, you know, and then then my whole weekend is so much better because I've exercised. I'm not worried about Monday morning and the pile of paper on my desk or emails or whatever. So for me, even though it looks like, oh my God, he's going into the office every Saturday, it's actually professionally relaxing and actually makes the rest of my weekend go smoother. It makes my Monday morning go so much better. So for me, that works, even though superficially someone might say, oh my God, he's working, you know, 6 days a week. So I think that's what you mean by the harmony.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone has to find their own harmony, how it works for them. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk about the highlights of the daily practice. If you want, I don't know if you want to do the one word story game or what are some of the other things.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, the highlights thing. And I want to tell a story about someone who used it. As a matter of fact, somebody very near here, I was doing a speech and she came up to me at the end of the speech and she was very excited to talk to me. And she said, you know, 4 years ago, I sat in one of your speeches and you talked about this highlights activity. And of course, my first reaction is, oh no, I repeated myself. That's not good. That's my negativity bias. But she said, no, don't worry about it. She said, actually, I just wanted to tell you that it changed my family. And I was, wow, okay. And she said, so at the time, I was a single mom to two teenage kids. My son and I just fought all the time. And my daughter was literally killing herself with an eating disorder. And I was just, taken aback because I'm thinking, I know this is based on some kind of research from positive psychology, but I hadn't thought of it in this context. And so I said, well, what happened? She said, well, when I first went home that night and I asked my kids what was their highlight, my son came up with them, but my daughter could not. She couldn't come up with one. And the interesting thing is my son and I started brainstorming to try to help her come up with things. And it took her a few days of us giving her ideas before she could. But 4 days later, she texts me as I'm coming home saying, hey, Mom, I've got a great highlight to share with you. She said she started crying because it was a long time since her daughter had said anything positive about her life. And I was just moved by this. And she said, wait a second, this is more than that. It's 4 years later now. Both my kids are in school, in college, doing well, and they call me every day to tell me their highlight.
What are some of the techniques, you know, that you've heard used so that people don't get caught up in the rat race?
Well, you just hit a key one, which is essentially choosing the most important times to be fully present. So one of the little principles that I hold for myself and I teach my nephew and niece and share with my friends, which is that the people that you're with are more important to connect with than the people who are on the phone. When you're with those people on the phone, then you'll be with them. But if you don't have the high quality connection in person, which is, you know, where everything is much richer and deeper, then even when you text them later on, it's not strengthening something good. And life is, John Lennon said, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans.
I have that. I used to have that quote in the bottom of my email. I love that line. That's
it's so good. And it's same here. Life is what you experience when you're actually fully present. I mean, life is always happening, but you don't even remember it when you're multitasking. So when you can choose, say, what relationships are so important to me, whether they're employees, whether they're children, whether they're my loved spouse or whatever, that when I'm with them, I want to pay full attention. So the highlights activity is an example of one where you can, everyone share it, celebrate with them, be present with them. Don't multitask, don't shift to something negative. Do all of that before you talk about any negative things at the end of the day. And that's a great mindfulness tool right there.
Well, I've learned a lot in this session because I'm probably going to have to borrow that line from you, but I like that, you know, the person you're with is, in fact, more present and more important than the person on the phone, only because you're present. And if you think of it, how annoying it is when you're driving with someone or you're sitting, you know, at on a bench or something, and they take a call or a text, and it's kind of like, you know, a real distraction. So I like that line. That's very helpful.
Good.
My mindfulness book is already at the publisher. Otherwise, I would have added that and given you full credit. So you're on the speaking circuit a lot. Does that help you as you think about your own life in terms of, like, based on the audience questions? Does that help your thinking?
Yeah, it helps me tremendously. I'm doing a series of trainings right now at the National Institute of Health. And of course, these are PhDs in science. So they ask me really, really good, tough questions. And it reminds me of a couple things. One is that no matter how brilliant people are, they still care about their families, because that's a lot of the questions. They still struggle with the same challenges we do. And they also remind me that I need to make sure that I'm being really rigorous with my thinking and delivering facts and not just my hypothesis. But it's really the big thing, again and again, is just that the quality of life, and this is the research that's come out a number of times in many settings, the quality of our life truly depends, number one, on the quality of the relationships of people we feel closest to, those we can open up and have meaningful, present communications and connections with.
The quality of your relationships. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's get out the contact information, both if you want to purchase the book Energize, but also if we've inspired someone, then maybe they want you to speak at their company or their organization. Tell us your contact information again, Bob.
Absolutely. So there's two ways. If you want to learn more about the Highlights activity, you can go to energizeperformance.com and search for Highlights. And I have a video there where I'm explaining this concept and a lot of other videos explaining different Energize tools. You can also go to matchboxgroup.com. So that's my firm's website. You can contact me there about speaking or at bob@matchboxgroup.com. And I'd be happy to chat with you more about that.
Now, your sort of mantra is you're the chief energizing officer. So if I'm a CEO or if I'm a senior leader in a company and I'm sort of feeling like my company needs to be charged up, are you a good candidate for an all-employees meeting to get people jacked and pumped?
I'd love to just say universal yes, but it really depends on the CEO and the culture of the company. I think if you have a culture where you really, truly want high engagement, absolutely. If you're someone who does lip service, you know, not much is going to do much good for you. So, but yes, absolutely. And I love to do that and help a CEO figure out what kind of culture she wants and how to help her really get there.
That's awesome. You know, I mentioned the best company conference that Delta Dental was the third best company to work for in New Hampshire. We've been on, you know, many lists, but it's interesting over the 15 years that we've been on and off the list, depending on when we applied. Originally, it was like, well, you have to have all these benefits. But now it's like, that's just the benefits, you know, it's just the entry fee. It's the authentic company that has an engaging culture that when a Bob Faw speaks to them, that'll take them to the next level. So thank you for connecting the dots for me. So
my pleasure.
Bob, thank you again. Thank you for joining me. I know you're busy on the holiday season. Energize is the name of the book, Bob Faw's name, and I hope that you purchase his book and get in touch with Bob. Thank you again. You've helped my life immeasurably as well.
Thank you very much. And by the way, its last name is F-A-W.
F-A-W.
Thank you.
Easy to spell and easy to pronounce, which makes it good for the radio host. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.